And welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. My name is Travis, got my brother Quentin here as always, and we have arrived at part three of our 2019 recap. And Q, this is going to be a decade recap. And we're looking back at some of our favorites from the last 10 years, Q.
This is tough, man.
It was tough. More challenging than I thought to take a decade and narrow it down to just 10 songs.
What I was trying to do is to think about songs that were a good representation of like how music has evolved in the last 10 years, or how, you know, certain genres that kind of had a good hold on the decade.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But I mean, we've got a pretty varied list here, I feel like.
So, let's just put this out there. It's not like these songs have anything to do with chart position or number of records sold. The criteria was basically just what are our favorite songs? I mean, we have to
What are songs and artists or albums from these artists that we have been revisiting frequently over the last decade? Right. The songs and the artists that we love and have loved for, you know, 10 years.
Right.
Or longer, you know, in some cases, a lot longer. And we're also going to release a Spotify playlist along with this episode that covers our 100 favorite songs from the last decade.
Yes, and the rule there, we did have some criteria there, and that was no singles, right? So we tried to stay true to the spirit of the podcast and say that no singles were allowed on our favorite 100 tracks from the last decade, which was super challenging, but also really fun. True to this podcast, that allows us to sort of share a song from an artist that you maybe aren't familiar with, you know, because it's easy to put a single on there from the last decade, you know?
Yeah.
But a little bit more challenging to pick from the remaining tracks that they've produced in the last decade and narrow it down to a non-single that's also just as good, if not better, than the single. So, anyway.
This playlist is also 100 artists. There's no repeats. No artist repeats.
That's also a really good point, Q. Yeah. You're only going to hear one track from each artist. That's otherwise, I mean, come on. It'd be a bunch of Spoon and Radiohead, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Q. They've heard enough yapping from us. Let's get into our picks here. And we decided amongst ourselves that there would be no point in trying to rank these. So we're just going to play them in the order that they were released. So starting from the beginning of the decade and working our way up. So without further ado, here is the first tune.
Oh, man. Inside jokes.
All right, Q. What do we got?
So the first one is going to be Lotus Flower. Also, we got some singles in this one, you know?
I think the criteria was okay. I mentioned that there was no, this wasn't based on chart position or whatever. But we also wanted to say, unlike the Spotify playlist of 100 tracks, we allowed ourselves to feature singles on this playlist. So please forgive us if you're a diehard fan of this podcast and you like that we don't talk about singles. We decided, you know, this is the top 10. Let's play some singles. Why not? It's hard enough to pick 10 songs from the last decade, but we want to really represent the artist in the best way possible. And sometimes, you know, it's a single. You know, what do you want from us? But that's not the case for every song. So it's not to say that these 10 songs are all singles, but some of them are. And one of them would be Lotus Flower by Radiohead. So
yes,
this track came out in 2011. And this was on Radiohead's first release, really, since In Rainbows. So coming off of In Rainbows, one of their more, widely loved and acclaimed records, came King of Limbs. And this is one of the singles off of that record. And I think more so than anything, the thing that stands out to me about this song, or that I remember about this song more so than anything, is the music video cue.
Yeah, it's the one where he does his goofy dance. His
interpretive dancing, if you will.
Yeah.
Millions of views on YouTube for this video, probably because of the dancing. Yeah, my guess is Radiohead picked up some viewers on this video that had never heard of them before and that have never listened to a Radiohead song. They just wanted to see this guy dance like a maniac. Apparently, there's even a meme that has spawned, Q, from this video. So you may have seen Tom York dancing like a lunatic in an internet meme and having no idea that it's tied to a music video. But anyway, Lotus Flower. I love the song. I think the groove and the melody is really exceptional in the song.
Drum beat's awesome. I mean, drum beat's awesome. Simple as always, but awesome. And there's just a lot of really tiny things that, like, you really got to pay attention to this song to really appreciate everything that's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And of course, the vocals, I mean, it's Tom York, so it goes without saying that the vocals are amazing.
He's the voice of an angel.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's just play the damn thing.
Yes, let's do it.
So here is Radiohead's Lotus Flower off of the album The King of Limbs. Man, I picked up on things listening to it just now that I never noticed before. I've heard the song hundreds of times.
What was that, Q? What'd you pick up on?
On those claps in the background, like,
oh yeah, dude. Bass line, dude. I love the bass. Oh, that bass, man.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of different, like,
yeah.
Like, I would love to hear every single isolated track for this song, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one thing to note about this album is that, you know, we talked about it in Rainbows. You can go back and listen to that episode. But, you know, In Rainbows was really kind of a return to the more, like, instrument-focused songwriting. They wanted to very much sort of not repeat themselves, right, with this record. So, but what they wanted to do was sort of combine the two, like, the more programming side of their songwriting with the instrumentation, and you can definitely hear that in this song, so.
Yes. We cover Radiohead extensively on this podcast. If you scroll back to October of 2018, we start with OK Computer all the way up to In Rainbows, where we ended in March of 2019. So we dive heavy into Radiohead in our previous episodes. So moving right along, Fleet Foxes, of course, found their way on our top 10. That was a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
For me, dude, for me, it's just, you know, they're in my top five favorite bands of my lifetime.
Definitely.
This is going to be a song that you might recognize. We actually did cover this song with our Helplessness Blues episode, which is an album by Fleet Foxes that came out in May of 2011. So this was their second full-length album. And for me, this song is might be my favorite Fleet Foxes song of all time.
I think
really hard to pick with these guys.
Yeah, it definitely showcases sort of all of the things that you can find in a Fleet Foxes song, like all of the different
the emotions, the storytelling.
Yeah, the emotion, the transitions, like all the
yeah,
the
things
that they bring to the table. This song is a really good example of it all. So, like you were about to say, it was hard to narrow it down to just one song from Fleet Foxes from the last decade, because a good portion of their catalog is from the last decade, or at least, you know, two out of their three albums from the last decade. So,
we bounced around a little bit on a song for this top 10. We landed on this song. It is called The Shrine / An Argument. And I'll remind everyone, this song ends on a jarring note. There's a pretty gnarly horn section in this song.
It's a lot of chaos for sure.
It's chaotic. Yeah. But anyways, this song still gives me chills when I hear it. So let's just go ahead and play it. Again, this is a song by Fleet Foxes from their album Helplessness Blues. This song is called The Shrine / An Argument.
I went down among the dust and pollen to the old stone fountain in the morning after dawn. Underneath were all these pens fallen from the hands of children. They were there and then were gone. And I wonder what became of them. What became of them? Sunlight over. Sunlight over me, no matter what.
Yeah, man. Every time. It gets me every single time.
I know, dude. Should we read the lyrics again, or just let's just point people to our full-length episode on this album?
Yes.
If you want to dive a little deeper with us, scroll back to August of 2018. We cover this album in its entirety. Again, the song is called "The Shrine / An Argument." The album is called "Helplessness Blues."
Oof. Yeah.
My heart.
Very few songs.
Just pulling on the strings. Can
give me chills every time I hear it, and that's just one of those songs.
Yeah, dude,
it's incredible, man. Yeah. One of the best songwriters, singers of the last decade, if not all time. So,
oh yeah, dude, he's gonna go down.
Yeah,
in history.
Amazing. So yeah, like Quentin was saying, we covered this album pretty in depth, and we nerd out even more so than we're doing right now. So yeah, go back and listen to that. That's episode 18. Let's keep it moving, man. So. I think it is going to be obvious that we tend to talk about bands that we like on this podcast, obviously. Here's another artist that may sound familiar to you if you have listened to this podcast since the beginning. And this is a fella by the name of Scott Hansen, who goes by Tycho. And we covered this record as our third episode. And this record is called Dive. Came out in 2011. And this may have been the first time, Q, that we used the word hypnagogic pop on this podcast. I mean, it had to be. It was episode 3.
It had to be.
But proof that we've been using that word since the beginning of this podcast. But Tycho, his music certainly sort of encapsulates that term, hypnagogic pop.
Yeah, it's that nostalgic nod.
Yeah, nostalgic. It sounds like something that you have familiarity with it, but you've never heard it before, that kind of thing, where it's like,
yeah, it's like you can't quite place why this sounds so familiar, but it's like almost comforting. It's like the old, you know, the old video games and stuff, you know. It definitely is nostalgic for our generation, for sure.
Anyway, so this is the first time that this song has been played on this podcast. It is the very first track on this album, and it is called A Walk. Thank you. Yeah, so here's the thing. Like I sort of alluded to this earlier. Tycho started out, and we talked about this extensively on the episode, so go check out the episode. But yeah, he started out as sort of a bedroom, like a bedroom project, right? He just had really rudimentary equipment.
Recorded it all straight onto his laptop, you know, and yeah.
And he slowly evolved. But yeah, it all sounds a lot like this, you know, and there's something about it. Like it's very warm and sort of like there's a lot of sort of that analog fuzz, you know, but it sounds organic in some way or another. You know what I mean? Like there's yeah, something about it that just sounds kind of like we said with the idea of hypnagogia, if that's the proper word. It doesn't sound modern. It sounds like something you've heard in the past, perhaps, you know, something that you have a memory of, but obviously you don't, because, you know, it's a brand new song, or at least it is the first time you hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And with that being said, I mean, that sounds and the music that Tycho makes has had a really like lasting impact on the music over the last decade, you know?
Anyway, Q, let's keep going here. We're going to be here all night if we don't chug along here, but it's hard to not gush about these songs, you know, and sort of talk about how much we love them. So yeah, we can't help it if this episode is lengthy, because it probably will be. But let's keep on moving here. We got the fourth track.
Yeah, and of all the bands that are featured on this list, this next one I'm the least familiar with, and I've been kicking myself for a while now, and for not getting more into this guy or this band. I don't know if it's if it's just one dude or if it's a band, but they're called Blood Orange.
It's mainly one guy.
It's one dude, Dev Heines. Heines. Dev Heines. I don't know how to say that. This is a guy that I've always, every song of his that I've heard, you know, I'm just wowed by.
Yeah, he's definitely, he blends a lot of, the funny thing is, it's almost like, man, I've heard this sound somewhere before, almost like hypnagogic pop. Like his music is very 80s and 70s influenced.
It reminds me, he's got some heavy Prince vibes.
Definitely, definitely. Let's say no more, Q, because yeah, this song especially, heavy Prince vibes. So let's listen to it.
Yeah, so this is a song off of his album Cupid Deluxe that came out in November of 2013. So we're jumping ahead a couple years here. And this is a song called You're Not Good Enough.
You look over. for good enough. Fall asleep right next to me. You know that you.
So I feel like the last decade in music, I feel like we've proven that you can take those almost like stock sounding drum beats and synthesizer sounds, you know, that you would just, that would just come preloaded on your drum machine or your keyboard, and use them in a way that isn't cheesy. You know, it's got that 80s vibe, but like you said, it sounds familiar, but it's fresh and different. And there were so many great songs over the last decade, and there's a ton of them that pop up on our top 100 list that have that sound, you know? I love it. I've always loved that sound.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about sort of the drum beat sound or whatever that's on a basic like keyboard or something like that. I mean, that was the whole thing behind like the 808, the Roland 808 drum machine.
Yeah,
you know, that was all throughout the 80s. You know, that
yes,
that bass drum sound and that hi-hat sound and stuff like that. There's a great documentary about the 808 that I would recommend watching, where it kind of talks about that.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I love that shit, man. But yeah.
What's it called?
It's called 808, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, cool. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think that's another thing, too, to mention about this last decade, is that indie music, which, you know, is heavily, I mean, you think about it, back in the early 2000s, or sorry, early 2010s, we still had that music blog. That was still a thing that we were doing. And it was an indie music blog. So it kind of makes sense as to why, well, not so much the first three artists, but Blood Orange, I remember we featured him on No Filler. I'm sorry, not No Filler, New Dust. A lot of indie music, I feel like, has borrowed from the past, you know, and just sort of taken it and you know, repackaged it or spun it in a different way. And that's all throughout our playlist of 100 tracks. There's a ton of indie music on there, and a lot of it, like you said, it borrows from the past. And this sound, too.
We've definitely got a soft spot for the 80s sound, our generation.
Yeah, for some reason we do. Probably because we were kids and still growing up and listening to it.
But we, like, pay homage to it in such a really great way, I think. That's my point. That's why this artist made it to our top 10. I think he's one of the few that do it exceptionally well. You know, Tori Moi as well. That guy Canaloo that we just covered last week, another example of that, you know, bringing back that 80s sound, but doing it in a really great way. But hey, before we jump into our next pick, let's take a quick break. And we're back. So let's jump right along, dude.
Yes.
Guess who's next?
Yes, yes.
Guess who's next, dude? I am so pumped to play this song on this podcast because it's a single.
It is.
We're going to jump into some spoonage.
So here's the great thing about this song, Q.
Oh my God, dude. I love this song so much.
Similar to Radiohead, Spoon is another artist where we covered a good portion of their catalog. We started with Girls Can Tell.
We started with a series of sneaks.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
We started back in April of 2018, yeah.
Which was, you know, really their first full-length record, all the way to Gimme Fiction. So this is an album that we didn't get to talk about. And this this album came out in 2014, two records later. After Gimme Fiction. No, three records later. Man, these guys are... They're fucking prolific, dude. Man.
They're prolific.
Anyway, this album, it's called They Want My Soul. It's got some badass album art, dude. I love the album art on this record.
Me too.
And yeah, this song, man. When you think back to their extensive catalog, as we said, they're pretty prolific. They've got a lot of songs, a lot of material that they've put out in the last, you know, two decades plus. This song stands out. It's got the signature Spoon sound. Like, it's an unmistakable, you can't, and that's mostly because of his voice, But it's unmistakably Spoon, right? There's no other artist that could make a song like this.
It's another example of how, you know, they'll take an idea that Britt Daniel has, a song idea, and just their approach to taking it from a song idea to like the end song that you hear is just so unique. And so I actually listened to this little, have you heard of the podcast called Song Exploder?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they'll take one song and that's the whole episode.
Did they do an episode of this song?
Dissect it. They did it. Yeah. We'll post a link to it.
Awesome.
In our show notes. But yeah, so basically Britt Daniel comes up, says, hey, got an idea for a song. And then he says, but I want to approach it like it's a Dr. Dre song.
Interesting.
So let's play the song. This might be my favorite Spoon song.
That's a tall order, Q.
Dude, there's something about it, man. So this song is called Inside Out. Listening, dude.
All I could think of, because that was the first time I had heard or tried to listen to it, thinking about it as a Dr. Dre track, because that was the first time I had really heard that. I'd never listened to that episode that you referred to. But yeah, just in general, I love the harp. It sounds like a harp. That thing that happens toward the end of that clip that we played there. That they sort of bring in.
So it's a harpsichord.
Yeah, the harpsichord. I mean, come on, man. A harpsichord and a rock song, I fucking love it. Now, okay, not that, you know what? It's not a rock song, but it's a rock band. It's you know, arguably one of the best indie rock bands of all time, Spoon, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about how Brett Daniels is one of the best rock vocalists of all time. But yeah, that's what makes it a standout song in their collection is stuff like that harpsichord that gets thrown in there that you've never heard before. But yeah, Q, tell us more about this track.
Yeah, so I mean, I recommend just listening to that Song Exploder episode. So it's an interview with Jim Eno, their drummer, and he said, you know, so it plays a really cool demo of just Britt with his microphone and his piano, which a lot of times that's how he brings song ideas to the group. And he said, you know, I thought it'd be kind of cool if we kind of approach this, you know, let's make this sound like a Dr. Dre song.
So what does he mean by that?
Jim takes that and he goes with Alex Fischel, I think that's how you say his name, one of the keyboard players, and they're playing around in the studio. And so Jim Eno just thinks, okay, I've got a drum beat in mind. How would this drum beat sound in a Dr. Dre song? So it's sampled, you know, it's a sampled drum beat. It's not really Jim Eno playing that, you know, so he samples out a beat that he just thinks it would be fitting on a Dr. Dre track. And then the way they approach the keyboard solos in this song too. So there's three keyboard solos in it, which Jim mentions in that episode that's actually a spoon first. So it's one of the only spoon songs that has three keyboard solos. The one that we heard in this and what we played here was that harpsichord. And he's, you know, he says one of the things I really enjoy about, you know, early hip hop is, you know, the use of samples in their tracks in a way that it sounds like it doesn't belong there, not just because it's a harpsichord, but also the time signature difference and everything. It kind of seems like it's out of place. So that's really it, dude. That's, you know, Britt Daniels said, you know, I think it'd be cool to kind of do something a little bit more, not necessarily dancey, but let's do this a little bit more with like a hip hop style, you know, and that's what makes Spoon so great.
Yeah,
especially when you listen to the demo that Britt Daniel brought to the table, it's so totally different.
Yeah, I mean that's like you said, that's why you love Spoon. They're always reinventing themselves. They're one of the few bands that you know, they've had a consistent evolution. Like if you go back to even their early EPs, like Telefono or Soft Effects, and then you listen today to their newest stuff, it sounds like Spoon the entire time.
It's still Spoon.
Yeah, it's always been Spoon, but they have evolved in such a natural way, you know, that a Spoon song is a Spoon song. But there's so many different places that they take you with a Spoon song throughout each album, from album to album, you know, leading to something like this where yeah, it's just like, like you said, it all boils down to those two people that we mentioned, Britt Daniel, obviously the singer, songwriter, and then Jim Eno, the drummer. There have been the two constants in the band since the beginning. And yeah, I mean, that's Spoon. You know, that's what makes Spoon Spoon, is the incredible drumming from Jim Eno and then just everything that Britt Daniel does, you know.
Anyways, man, we could talk about this one Spoon song for another half hour. Let's jump along, dude. I'm excited to share this song, actually. Our next pick is going to be Courtney Barnett, the amazing Australian singer-songwriter.
Not the first time she's appeared on this podcast. I think she may have been on this podcast a couple times, actually.
Really?
I know you've shared... I think you shared her track last year, dude.
Yeah, Best of 2018. Yes, you're right. Right. Holy shit. Yeah, I played a song from her album that came out in 2018.
There you go.
Called Tell Me How You Really Feel. Yeah, I played the opening track on that one. Well, this is one of my favorites of hers. She has an album that came out in 2015 called Sometimes I Sit and Think, and Sometimes I Just Sit. And all you need to know about Courtney Barnett, if you don't know much about her, she's just this like... It's kind of hard to pinpoint her sound. It's definitely bluesy, folk. You know, she gets thrown into the psychedelic rock, indie rock category. That doesn't matter. It's her lyrics and her songwriting. I mean, it's just She's kind of like a modern day Bob Dylan in a way. I mean, that's, I don't know how else to put it. It's just really, really smart lyrics, and she's able to, you know, cram in a lot of ideas into, you know, fairly short songs. And the stories that she tells in these songs, really great. Anyways, let's just play the track. This one is one of my favorites from her. It is called Pedestrian at Best. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, what an interesting the lyrics, man. It's just so you can't help but pay attention, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me just I want to read the lyrics, Q.
Go for it. Cuz I love it. Yeah, verse 2 is my favorite, man.
Well, I was going to read verse 1. Cuz I think I think it helps illustrate sort of her way with words, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She says, "I love you, I hate you, I'm on the fence, it all depends. Whether I'm up or down, I'm on the mend, transcending all reality. I like you, despise you, admire you. What are we going to do when everything all falls through? I must confess I've made a mess of what should be a small success, but I digress. At least I've tried my very best, I guess." I love that shit.
Dude, I know.
It's great, man. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to read verse 2, bro.
Go ahead.
This is hilarious, but all right. "My internal monologue is saturated analog. It's scratched and drifting. I've become attached to the idea. It's all a shifting dream, bittersweet philosophy. I've got no idea how I even got here. I'm resentful. I'm having an existential time crisis. Want bliss? Daylight savings time. Wait. Want bliss? Daylight savings won't fix this mess. Underworked and oversexed, I must express my disinterest. The rats are back inside my head. What would Freud have said?" Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than some like rap, like rhyme, you know? Like the rhyming is just intense. She's spinning gold, dude. Yeah. I love this song, dude. It's about like her.
Underworked and oversexed is a funny line.
It's yeah, and it's powerful too. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the chorus too. "Put me on a pedestal and I'll only disappoint you." I think she's singing about like her newfound success, you know, and like her newfound fame or whatever. And she's like, you know, I don't feel that great about myself. Like, you know, yeah,
sure.
Like she's a blast, man. I love listening to Courtney.
Absolutely. All right, Q. So the next album that we're talking about here, it's probably on the top of a lot of people's best albums of the decade. We've talked about this artist before. We didn't cover this record. We talked about his 2010 record, Inner Speaker. Of course, we're talking about Kevin Parker, also known as Tame Impala.
Another Australian artist, dude.
There you go, man. What are they doing over there? All right, so yeah. Currents came out in 2015. Arguably his best record. But that's the thing. It's his most recent record.
It's also the first album of his that it's genre defying or, you know, genre bending.
He's primarily a psychedelic rock musician. But like you said, this record sort of introduced some disco, some R&B,
some dance,
yeah,
beats.
And
yeah,
I would. Yeah, it was probably his most commercially successful record for sure. And we're about to get a new record, dude. I think it's going to drop this week, in fact.
Holy shit, yeah. Dude. I can't wait.
So it may actually already be out by the time this episode goes up. But anyway, there's just, you know, there's not enough to say about this guy as a songwriter, as a producer. He's just one of those like rare talents, you know?
Yeah.
And this song in particular, this was a single. There's a music video behind it. The fucking opening riff is just killer. Let's just listen to it, man. It's one of the catchiest fucking songs.
All right.
Here we go.
This is The Less I Know, The Better.
Yeah.
it's hard not to tap your feet and like just fucking get into this song. It's just so catchy, you know?
Yeah, and I had to play it all the way through because I love at the end. And man, I'm terrible with like song structure names. You know what I mean?
It's a bridge, sure.
It's bridge,
but okay. It's also the outro because I mean it carries out the rest of it.
Yeah, but I love the when it changes up at the end. That's my favorite part of the song is the "I was doing fine without you till I saw your eyes turn away from mine." Yeah, you know, I love that part of the song.
So listen to this, Q. I'm reading up on this right now. So like we had mentioned, he incorporated some different genres, different sounds into this record.
Yep.
It says here on his Wikipedia page, that there's one particular event that you can point to as to why he started experimenting with other sounds. He began to feel that even songs outside of the psychedelic genre could possess its qualities. He made this assumption while under the influence of psychedelic mushrooms and cocaine and listening to the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive. So you can just imagine
mushrooms and cocaine.
On mushrooms and cocaine.
Good God.
Listening to Stayin' Alive and being like, man, dude, I could turn this into a psychedelic song. It's basically what it is,
dude,
right?
Dude, I'm like surprised that I'm staying alive right now.
But anyway, I like that. The fact that there's a quote here. It goes on to say, "The only rule was to make an attempt to abandon the rules that I've set up in the past." So in other words, like we had said, he made a name for himself with the psychedelic rock sound. But with this album, he wanted to still make psychedelic music, but you know, write a disco song that sort of has psychedelic elements to it. In other words, make a psychedelic song that's also a disco song, which is cool. It's a cool challenge, you know?
Yeah.
And I think
love about this, dude?
What's that?
It sounds like Spoon to me. It's exactly what Bert Daniel decided long ago. And you can hear it in their album, Girls Can Tell, where he's like, you know what? I'm going to put I'm going to play the he goes, you know what? I'm gonna put a piano in this song. There's no reason for us to box ourselves in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We can still be right. Spoon. This can still be a Spoon,
right? Because I mean, think you know, as Bert Daniels like was saying back then, like he thought that a piano was off limits, or at least he didn't think that they could incorporate a piano into their music and still be a rock band or like a punk rock band. And obviously that's what Spoon is, you know. They're a rock band that aren't afraid to take risks. And obviously that played out with Inside Out in a big way. And same with this guy. It's, you know, and that's what makes a talented musician a talented musician, right?
So anyway. And that's what makes a song that finds its way on our top 10.
Right. Absolutely.
For the last decade. Yeah, yeah. And that goes, dude, and this is, man, talking about moving right along, like, perfectly here. This guy Bradford Cox, man, also known as Deer Hunter, he also plays in a band called Atlas Sound.
Yes, this guy.
Gonna talk about someone who, you know, blurs the lines of genres, and he's been doing it for a long time, man.
He has
over 20 years
in a lot of ways. He you know, he was making music back when the Strokes were making music. But he's had more staying power, I think, than they have as far as that post-punk sound, you know?
Yeah.
And that's essentially what Deer Hunter is. They're a post-punk revival band that have been doing it and have stayed successful the entire time throughout the last decade. You know, obviously the Strokes go back to 2001. But Deer Hunter was making music in the early aughts, you know?
Yeah.
But they're still doing it. They just put out a single, I think, this year. So, Deer Hunter. That's another band that we have not covered on this.
Haven't covered them yet.
Have not covered them. But I love everything that they do, man. They're so, you know, and it probably points to him as a songwriter. It's just good punk-centered indie rock, post-punk. You know, what else can I say? Let's just fucking listen to it, huh?
Let's do it.
Because it'll speak for itself.
Yeah, and this is coming from an album that came out in October of 2015. 2015 on an album called Fading Frontier. Yeah, we're going to play a song called Breaker.
Christ or credit? What's the price? What's the edit? I'm alive. I don't credit the source. I just drive.
Catchy ass tune, man.
It's a beauty.
Yeah. So this record, Fading Frontier, was ranked pretty high on a lot of best of albums lists in 2015. The highest it got was number 12 on the Guardian's list of the best albums of 2015. But yeah, what could you point to in that song and say, I didn't really like that part? It's also solid. The guitar part, the bass, the singing, obviously, the harmonizing. Yeah. The harmonizing is great in that chorus. You know, that main sort of riff that's sort of in the background throughout the whole song is fucking exceptional. It's a great track. It's a really good representation of the band too. You know, it's sort of in their earlier stuff, they were more punk centered. And this record has the dream pop label on it, although I don't think that song really showcases that. But yeah, man, what a great track, what a great band. Maybe we'll circle around and do a full episode on this album, or maybe the album that came out before this one, Monomania. But a good portion of their catalog has come out in the last decade. They go back to like I say, they were formed in 2001, so they've been they've been around since the Strokes really kind of hit it big. But they're still going strong. You could say that the Strokes are still around, obviously, but you know, that's a different conversation as far as if the Strokes are as still producing a quality music, you know.
I mean, that's a different, very depressing conversation. Yes, that I don't want to get into.
That's a good point, Q. That's a good point. But yeah, yeah. These guys are fucking dope. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right, Q.
So, dude, I want to do something a little bit different for this next one, okay?
Okay.
I say we take a trip to the Upside Down. Dude, I think all of us remember the first time we all saw the credits roll for this fucking show, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we weren't making a joke there. Like, this is actually on our list. This yeah. is the theme. I mean, if you don't know, this is the theme song for the, breakout hit, Stranger Things, the Netflix show Stranger Things, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. No doubt.
I love this show.
No doubt. And yeah.
Yeah.
As the song perhaps sort of, you know, encapsulates or showcases, like, this show is all about nostalgia, you know, which has been sort of a theme, you know, for sure in pop culture yeah. in the last decade. Yeah. But this song in particular, it just captures what this show is all about. And, you know, it's got elements of like horror themes in it, like horror soundtrack themes. It's got a lot of, that here we were talking about this. We're trying to label it, sort of like Kravinsky, which is an artist that's kind of, associated with that outrun. What's it called? Outrun. Yeah.
That's the name of one of Kravinsky's albums.
Yeah.
But it's that night drive, like,
yeah, used more for that night drive sound.
And it's again, like, kind of like what we were talking about, where it does sound like, you know, keyboard sounds and drum beats the ones that would come preloaded on your Casio keyboard,
right?
You know, from the 80s or 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the artists here, Q. This is a duo. It's Michael Stein and Kyle Dixon. They were originally in a band, electronic band called Survive. So they were putting out music like this as far back as 2009. And then they were approached by, the Duffy Brothers. And they came up with this fucking amazing theme, dude, that, it, you know, a lot of times you skip the credits, right? Let me just skip the intro on Netflix.
Yeah.
I listen to this every time. Because not to mention
it gives me goosebumps.
It gets you goosebumps. It gets you pumped for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just barely over a minute long. And it's the perfect fucking theme song. So perfect, in fact, that it won the 2017 Emmy Award for Outstanding Original Main Title Theme Music.
Yeah. So and even though it's, you know, just over a minute long and it's the song, it's a theme song for a show, I think it deserves a spot on this list, dude.
Yeah. And you know, we haven't really talked much about soundtracks on this podcast yet, but I sort of alluded to it last week that, like, I love fucking soundtracks, man. I love video game soundtracks. I love movie soundtracks. And now this is two episodes in a row where we have played a song from a soundtrack. Last week, we played a song from The Mandalorian. So I'm glad that it's finally, this kind of music is finally getting some recognition on this podcast. But, all right, Q. This is actually kind of fitting that this is the last song that we're playing. Because this is probably the most commercially successful artist and record that's on this list. It just happens to be the most recent record that was put out. But, I think everybody has listened to this record, even people who aren't necessarily fans of rap music in general. This album had so much buzz around it at the time, and this artist in particular has sort of crossed over. You know, a lot of people love this record, myself included, who, as I said, don't necessarily listen to rap all the time.
Same.
We're talking about, of course, Mr. Kendrick Lamar, and this record, Damn, period, all capital letters, which is, you know, when you look at the track list on the record, it's one word, period, right? There's just something about this record, man. It's incredible.
I mean, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this album, dude.
Yeah, which is a big deal.
Well, yeah, he was the first rapper to win the award.
Which is kind of incredible to me if you think about
it's
it.
It's crazy. And I'm reading right here, he's the first winner who is not a classical or jazz musician.
Yeah. I mean, Boom. It's huge.
That's huge,
but,
dude.
But yeah, I think if there's any genre that should be the first to win a Pulitzer Prize, I think hip hop is the one to do it, man.
Absolutely.
Their storytelling, the way that they share their experiences on their on their music, far exceeds rock music more often than not. 9 times out of 10, you're gonna get to experience and feel something and relate to somebody. I think by listening to a rap record, put yourself in another person's shoes more so by listening to rap music than rock music, and this record especially.
So this album Damn came out in April of 2017. So this is the most recent song on this list of ours. Obviously we're at number 10 now,
and it's a good way to go out. I think it's a great song to close on.
And we're gonna, and you know what, I was thinking, let's just fade out the episode with this song. We'll just play it all the way in its entirety and finish off with that.
I'm fine with that.
All right, so we're getting back to our normal schedule, our normal programming next week, dude. It's been fun.
Yes, we've been looking back.
It's been fun, dude. We've played through 30 songs in the last 3 weeks, man.
That's a lot of songs,
man. That's a lot of good tunes, dude. That's
a lot of songs. And like we said earlier, we will be sharing not only this playlist as it's as a separate playlist, but we will have our top 100 non-singles from the last decade, and that we've been putting together for the last month, it feels like, maybe longer than that.
100 songs, 100 artists.
100 songs, 100 artists. It was a lot of fun putting this together, and just you know, pull it up and hit shuffle. That's probably the best way to listen to this playlist is on shuffle.
Yeah, dude.
It's not in any particular order. Just push shuffle. You're going to hear a lot of different genres, mostly indie rock, you know, if we're being honest. But
there's some hip hop and some heavy metal thrown in there.
There's some hip hop. There's a couple of soundtrack songs on there. Anyway, like you said, Q, we're going to have Kendrick Lamar close us out. We will be coming back at you next week with a return to the normal episode format. We haven't decided yet what we're going to talk about, but check us out on the Pantheon Podcast Network, where you can find tons of other great music podcast content. You can check them out on pantheonpodcast.com. You can also check out our website where we post show notes and where you will find a link to that Spotify playlist. And that's nofillerpodcast.com. And that's that, man. So again, Q, this has been a look back at the last decade and our top 10 tracks. And we're going to have Mr. Kendrick Lamar close us out with the single Humble. And that'll do it for us. My name is Travis.
And I'm Quentin.
Hey, everybody, just, sit down, be humble.
Wicked or weakness, you gotta see this. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Finesse a nickel with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan where my accountant lives, in fact, I'm down in this. Say with my boo babe, tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy your Westie world with my base stuff. Ooh, that pussy good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty once you let me do the extras. Pull up on your block, then break it down, we playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM funk. Piss out your per diem, you just gotta hate them funk. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Bitch, be humble. Hold up, bitch. Sit down. Hold up, little. Hold up, little. Be humble. Hold up, bitch. Sit down. Sit down, little. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Hold up, bitch. Sit down. Be humble. Hold up, hold up. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down, be humble, bitch, sit down, be humble, sit down, holla, holla, holla.
that nigga thinking that he frontin' on man. Get the fuck off my stage, I'm the Sandman. Get the fuck off my dick, that ain't right. I make a play, fucking up your whole life. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama couch in polo sock. Ayy, this shit way too crazy. Ayy, you do not amaze me. Ayy, I blew cool from AC. Ayy, Obama just paged me. Ayy, I don't fabricate it. Ayy, most of y'all be faking. Ayy, I stay modest about it. Ayy, she elaborated. Ayy, this that Grey Poupon, that Avion, that TED Talk. Ayy, watch my soul speak, you let the meds talk. Ayy, if I kill a nigga, it won't be the alcohol. Ayy, I'm the realest nigga after all. Bitch, be humble.
Hold up, bitch,
sit down.
Hold up,
be humble.
Hold up, bitch,
sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down.
Time to Let It Roll, the podcast about how and why popular music happens. We're heading into 2020, and it's never been easier to hear music, old, new, local, international, but has it ever been harder to make sense of popular music? Is this golden age of ubiquity producing great new music? How long will our Uber access to everything ever recorded last? How did the 20th century produce so much great popular music? Is there any chance the 21st century will match it? I'm Nate Wilcox, and I'm obsessed with trying to figure out what the heck happened with popular music in the last 170 years and where we might be headed. Join me as I talk to some of the best music historians on earth, people like Ed Ward, Robert Christgau, Stanley Booth, Ted Gioia, Elijah Wald, Susan Whitehall, and Peter Doggett, to get the history, the theory, and try to figure out how popular music happens on the Let It Roll podcast.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.